It's garish. It's lurid. It's ugly. It's frightening. And it looks so modern, but it's not. James Ensor's famous painting, painted on a vast scale, The Entry of Christ into Brussels, is over 130 years old. You can see his signature and the date in the green wall at the bottom right-hand corner of the picture. He painted it in 1889. And Ensor meant his painting to startle us. He wants us to ask questions about ourselves, about our societies, about our priorities, about our religion. A wild muddle of clowns, clergy, military, public dignitaries, onlookers, Mitläufer, hangers-on. People swooning, people kissing, people arguing, people debating. Perhaps they're overwhelmed by the big issue of their day, whatever that was. Or disagreeing about the best strategy for some dilemma facing them. And most frighteningly of all, how many of them there are wearing masks? Different masks from what we know today, but masks nevertheless. It's unsettling. It is startling. A Mardi Gras atmosphere, complete with marching band. Their banner proclaims, Fanfare doctrinaire, toujours réussi. Marching bands, or doctrinaire fanfares, always a success. And there, at second, or third, or fourth glance, central, yet somehow peripheral, the figure of Christ riding on a donkey, largely ignored by all except a few who are close beside him. The rest, all are being swept along by the sensation, the event, the fact there's something, they're not quite sure what, going on. This epochal painting spurned a whole lot of imitations and copies. Back in the 1970s, I think it was, there was an English artist, a poet and artist, who, Henri, sounds French as well, or Belgian or whatever, French language, who painted a similar picture, Christ's entry, the entry of Christ into Liverpool. And more recently yet, Joël Pelletier, in 2004, painted another imitation of Ensor's painting, American Fundamentalists, Christ's Entry into Washington in 2008. He picked up on that banner there that's to the left of the Christ figure, Fanfare doctrinaire, toujours réussi, doctrinaire fanfares, always successful. And his question is, are we so busy blaring out our own messages we risk losing sight of the Christ in the midst? Or is the danger that of being so swallowed up by the message others are blaring out, we lack the vision to see Christ in the midst, suffering with us, travelling with us, seeking to lead us forward and out of our confusion, if only we would find him and follow him? Almost invisible at the heart of all the colourful confusion, the lurid confusion, Christ is there. The big question of this big canvas, what is his place in the bigger picture? What is our place in the bigger picture? I came across again a poem by Pat Livingston from England. It's part of the verses I'm going to read are part of a larger poem called Crowd Control, in which Pat Livingston explores supermarket queues, people fighting to get in the shorter queue, or maybe fighting to get the toilet paper, or fighting to get the pasta or the flour which suddenly has proved so popular. Or people in queues at borders waiting to get through. Are we going to be admitted? Refugees. Or people being herded along in demonstrations by mounted police, unsure of what's happening, unsure of what is going on. She begins, I think it's a she, the poem with these words. By and large, I don't do crowds. Too easy to get lost in one. Forget who you are as you adopt the crowd's persona. That rings a bell with us, with all the talk of herd immunity and of herd movements and herd emotions. Echoes of the Easter story, Pat Livingston muses. Echoes, and then ends with these words. That sense of crowd identity. They shouted together in joy, in venom, in fear. And once their message was vented, they melted away and rediscovered who they were. In a sense, Holy Week is part of that, or that is part of Holy Week, finding our true selves. This today is not a rounded off standalone reflection like those I shared over the past 2 weeks, because Palm Sunday is not a rounded off standalone celebration, but is the prelude, if you like, the prelude to or a part of the whole that is Holy Week. We'll be posting reflections on Thursday, on Friday, and of course on Sunday. So I suggest you log in again this Thursday, Maundy Thursday, this Friday, Good Friday, and next Sunday on Easter Day itself, as together we seek to explore the larger picture. On Thursday, we'll be looking at how shared meals can change people. I found a video online that talks about that without being directly religious or directly referring to the Last Supper, but I think is very relevant. On Friday, we recall and recollect the crucifixion. Our friend, Reverend Irene Baum from Rotterdam, has prepared an interactive Good Friday reflection, which she's sharing with several congregations throughout Presbytery, a way of extending community in times when that's not possible physically. And she just suggests for that we prepare or have at hand a Good Friday worship kit, consisting of a shallow dish with some olive oil, 3 or more tea lights and matches or a lighter, a basin of water, soap and a towel, a cardboard placard with the word Hosanna on one side and a marker pen to write on the other, a hammer, a piece of cloth to tear with a small cut in it to help us tear it easily. And for Easter Sunday, as we focus on the risen Christ who calls us again to community, I would like as many people as possible to each contribute a short video. Take your smartphone or whatever other device you have and make a 3-second video of yourself. It doesn't need to be longer than that, saying simply the words, "Peace be with you." Send it to me as soon as possible. The earlier in the week, the better. And we'll put all our videos together and post them in the Easter Sunday worship toolkit. Until then, may the peace of Christ, which is beyond all our human understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus, our Lord. Amen.